The emptiness opened up within me so subtly that I didn't even notice it was happening at first. I slowed down and stopped working. One by one, things fell by the wayside. I didn't even realize that I had stopped posting things that I had already written. One by one, things fell away until I couldn't really do anything. Yeah, I had done it again. I was facing burnout. But this time it was different. This time it wasn't because I had overextended myself or picked up too many things to work on. This time, it was because the world got weird and sad and tragic in ways that I just couldn't handle. My life became more complicated. My family is going through a lot. And a great wall of emotion went up, and I just couldn't figure out how to get through it. Slowly, I fell away. The world fell away. And I found myself incapable of doing even the most basic things. Everything hurt, physically, mentally. All I could feel was anxiety, fear, doubt. My joints hurt more than ever. It was harder for me to get up and move around. I didn't know what to do. I wish I could say that I'm putting this together to tell you how to escape a pit like this, but I'm just telling you how I'm getting through, because that's the best that I can do. I hit a wall, and it's not the usual wall that I'm used to. I'm used to being so excited about the work that I'm doing that I try to do too much to the point that I burn out. I can see the warning signs of that coming because I've done it several times before. I wasn't ready for the world to just go crazy, for my life to go crazy at the same time, and for everything to feel like a struggle, like a fight. I couldn't figure out how to do the things that I loved anymore. I love talking about media, but that was off the table because with the writer's strike and the actor's strike and all of the venomous poison that has entered the fandom debates about media, it felt like an impossible hurdle to jump. How do I say anything and not have to fight tooth and nail just to say, it was okay, or I really like something? I started questioning whether opinions mattered, and they do. They matter a lot. But in the market that we have created for ourselves, it's not so much about the opinion anymore. It's about a certain kind of purity. I think it sees itself as a moral purity, but there really isn't anything moral or ethical about it. It's just people trying to make themselves feel superior. And you can see this with the way various properties are talked about. Do you have something that has a non-white lead in it? How about something that doesn't star a cis white male? You can see how everything is twisted and distorted and torn apart. I got tired of arguing. I got tired of watching people not even pay attention to what I was saying and just tear it apart. And I know that's part of this. I'm not new. I've been doing this for 20 years now. But something about this round felt different. Everything I said was part of an agenda or because I hated a particular person. Everything was taken so personally. Like the beginning of the end started when I did an innocuous video about Dune. This is a book franchise that I have loved since I was a child. Granted, I haven't read any of Brian Herbert's books, but I've read the main series so many times. And I absolutely love them. And I got excited about the idea of a new version, especially with the new technology that we have to visualize it and make it look real. But more than that, because the world that we're living in right now is struggling with the same themes that the world in Dune was. We're having the same problems as Arrakis and the Empire that holds it down. We have the petty squabbling of the self-appointed elites who just have more money than the rest of us, and those of us at the bottom are just caught in their squabbling. Religious leaders say what they need to say so that they can control the populace, and the people that suffer are the poor and the downtrodden. I couldn't imagine a book or a franchise more suited to our time. And then I saw the movie, and none of that was in it. The heart and soul of the book was removed, and it was turned into what felt like a space romance. And I don't mean like a science romance in the old school way. I mean like a romance in space. In this version, Paul is excited about going to Arrakis because he dreams about a pretty girl. And that's not the Paul I know. And I don't want to go through and rehash all of that again. But I said what I said about it. And then the responses started coming in and nobody paid attention. No one paid a single moment of attention to the words that I actually said and just assumed that I had an agenda. I either hated the director, I was lying. I get accused of lying a lot, which is really weird for me because most of my work is opinion based, and it's not impossible to lie about your opinions. It's not what I'm doing. Maybe I don't come off as authentic or sincere. Maybe that's a problem that I need to work on. But it continued with each and everything that I was doing. More and more, I was getting accused of being inauthentic, being a shill for this or that. And it was getting harder and harder to talk about the things that I loved because of the frivolous nature of them. I love stories. I love art. I love music. And the world's literally burning down. We had an insurrection in this country. Gun violence is going crazy. The trans community, of which I am a part, is under attack. And then the wars started. How can I talk about a comic book movie in the face of war? And I started watching other people starting to bring that up. Like, how can you talk about a comic book movie in the face of war? But the real breaking point for me was when commentators and reviewers that I enjoyed started not seeing the forest for the trees. I'm not going to say who it was, but a reviewer that I thought a lot about went after Ahsoka for mentioning who Jason Syndulla's father was, even though there was a previous story where we knew who Jason's father was, and he was very important to that story. Apparently having parents is reliance on legacy now, and it confused me. I saw the same thing with Andor before it, and even the Book of Boba Fett. Everything was being judged on one or two episodes as if that explained the entire series, the entire thing that a story was trying to tell. And I know we're supposed to just accept the idea that attention spans are shorter, but that's not something that I am willing to do. Yes, attention spans are shorter. People are having a harder time paying attention, and even what little attention they have is really hard to quantify because there's just so much content coming out. Here I am making more. Why am I making more? Why am I podcasting? Why am I writing my Substack? Why am I writing new books? Why am I doing anything? And see, that's the seed of the emptiness. That's the seed of the hollowness. How does anything that I'm doing or wanting to do or thinking about doing or wanting to talk about matter when the whole world has gone crazy? And see, I'm not even supposed to phrase it that way. And I understand why, but I don't know another phrase for it. There's such a detachment from reality that has permeated our discussion about everything that I don't know another word other than insane. People are creating entire false narratives for themselves and living within those lies as if they were true. That's not stable. That's not sane. And what could I do? I'm just a storyteller who tells silly space opera and urban fantasy and epic fantasy stories. I have ideas and comment on them. I make silly little songs. How could someone like me matter? I think a lot of us feel like that right now. How could I matter? How could anything matter when the stakes are so high, when everything is so big and consuming? Everything feels so final. But it's the little things that matter most. It's the little things that get us up and push us out the door. It's the little things that remind us to live. Because that's really what this phase of late stage capitalism has taken away from us. We are collectively forgetting to live. We've all been pushed to a place where it's all about survival. And we're trying to survive. We're trying so hard to make it from day to day, whether that's to pay our bills or to pay for our medications, to deal with grief, sorrow, suffering. We're working so hard to survive that we've forgotten to live. And I understand that. I really do. But I grew up poor. I grew up not having a lot. And the one thing that I remember most from my childhood was the joy, because you had to find joy in whatever little thing that you could. I remember sitting around canning green beans with my family and breaking them up and putting them in the jars and all of us sitting around the table. And we knew that if we didn't do that, we wouldn't have food for the winter. We wouldn't have what we needed on the shelf. But we told stories and we sang songs and told jokes. We laughed. We celebrated what little we had to get through to the other side. If we lose that celebration, if we lose that joy, we truly have nothing. And that's the problem right now. Yeah, the world is serious. The world is full of pain and sorrow, and terrible things are happening all of the time. I understand that, and I'm not trying to pretend that we should ignore it. But when we lose sight of the little things, the little joys, we stop living. That's what I had done. I had gotten to a point where I was so worried about everything. Was this story good enough, important enough, did it matter enough? There are two ways to approach this. We could take from the grand view of the universe, everything is meaningless, and the billions of years that have come before us and the billions of years that will come after us, the little things, the big things that we do now are just a blip in geological time, in cosmic time. And embrace that kind of positive nihilism that's so popular now. Or embrace the negative nihilism of it doesn't matter, so why bother? I'm done with nihilism. I want something more constructive. Because it doesn't matter, to be honest, if the events of my life have a long-lasting effect on the universe. It matters if they have a long-lasting effect on me, on my community, on those that matter most to me. It's the short-term change for the better that matters. It's so easy to get lost in the long-term, and while we shouldn't ignore it, if we don't focus on the near-term in ways that actually matter, that make change, not in preserving the status quo, but in ways that actually make things better, then we've really done nothing. And we have truly squandered our time. Yeah, it's going to be hard to deal with climate change. And yes, we should be working on solar and other renewable power sources. But if we let that dire future take away the life we have now, the darkness is already won. I'm not advocating a life where we dance on the fires that are consuming the world. That's not where I'm at all. But where I've come to is looking for what I can do now, what I can do in this moment, reprioritizing things, but reprioritizing things with a long view. Will I regret the decision that I'm making now? If there's a chance that I'll regret it, then maybe I shouldn't do it. If there's a chance that in the long road it's the bad idea, then maybe I shouldn't do it. But if it brings joy now and there's little chance of regret or harm coming from it, then do it. This kind of both-and approach to taking in our lives and the little moments that we can have now is the answer, at least for me. It's the solution for me. It's reawakening to joy, to life, to the possibilities of having something, anything good now, and not giving in to the darkness and the shadows that haunt every moment of our existence. That's where I'm at now. Before, I always turned to the future and thought about, well, one day. But we can't wait for a projected golden age. We can't wait for something great to come down the road eventually. If we're not making the good now, we will never have the great later. If we're not making joy now, we will never have happiness later. We have to change so much. We have to reform, break down, build up so many things. And in that, we need to bring joyousness and not get lost in the sorrow of the moment. That sorrow can dampen us down and put out the fires of life within us. We have to stand up, be strong, and seek the better. At least that's what I'm trying to do. And it's helping me do better right now. And I just thought I would share that. Does this podcast matter? In the grand scheme of things, probably not. If I'm more honest, the answer is probably no. But for me, it matters a lot. This is the moment I found my voice again and decided to start sharing it again in a way that matters to me. And hopefully, maybe to some of you. Thank you so much for listening. I'm writing over at projectshadow.com and I'm working a lot on my new space opera story. A whole bunch of changes coming over there too. Be talking about that going forward. Thank you so much for your time. And don't forget, and I say this at the end of every podcast, but I really do mean it. Don't forget to have the fun. Bye.